Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Final hour of DVD here on 102.5 The Game. Friday afternoon, let's get excited about the weekend. We made it through. And we've got a really fun hour coming your way. We've had a lot of World Cup talk this week. We've had the hockey big off-season wave of changes, the draft, and then the free agency. And we wanted to have a day of really solid football talk today, summer football talk. We're still a couple weeks away. But this is kind of like the equivalent of the old hot stove when you talk baseball in the winter and you get the hot stove going. This is like the hot summer. We're waiting for training camp, but there's no football going on right now. But we had a fun philosophical conversation last hour about Cam Ward. What if he's only good? This hour, it's Ask D-Mace. So you can ask D-Mace anything. But we thought it would be great to ask D-Mace what it's like to prepare for a playoff game because – there was a really fun article in ESPN, behind the scenes. It's long. So, you know, grab something to eat, something to drink.
Yes.
If you're going to sit there. Or it might take a couple of sittings to get through the whole thing and because it's so detailed. But I found it fascinating. It took a writer, Seth Wickersham, and he followed Sean Payton everywhere he went for a couple weeks. During their playoff run, they were the number one seed last year in the AFC, which is a fun spinoff of what we talked about last hour. Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, they weren't even in the playoffs last year. It was a huge opportunity for the Broncos. And, of course, they had to deal with their quarterback, Bo Nix, getting hurt. But it chronicles the preparation that goes into a playoff game. What a coach does, not only for the X's and O's and the game planning, but also, how do you get your team in the right frame of mind? So that's going to be the theme of Ask D-Mace. But we want you to weigh in. If you've just got some fun stuff, as we always do, that's always fair game on Ask D-Mace. 615-737-1025. We're broadcasting, of course, from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. So, D-Mates, let's start with this, the Broncos thing. Sean Payton is pretty unique. He's a mad scientist. And one of the questions I had as I was reading some of his crazy stuff, the 14-hour days, all the things you hear about game planning, they sleep in the office, or they sleep from like 1 a.m. to 5 a.m., and then they come right back. You know, they don't talk to their – they might talk to their families for 10 minutes, especially in the playoffs where you're so close you could taste the Super Bowl. Do you think Sean Payton is like every NFL coach, or do you think he's more of a maniac than some of them?
I think he's like every coach that has been in that position because there's a difference between, you know, and everybody knows that there's a difference between preseason and regular season. Everybody knows it and sees it. But then there's a difference. There's a whole different world when it comes to regular season and playoffs. Because, listen, you win, you advance, you lose, it's over. So all that stuff you did during the season, all that, you know, working out and working extra hours and spending extra, you know, hours in the meeting room, all that ends up being for nothing. Now we got to start back over. So the minute the playoffs start, the minute that last game has been over, everybody changes their tune. Everybody changes their attitude. Everything becomes hyper-focused for 4 weeks. If you are not a first, if you don't have the number one seed, then it's really 4 weeks that you got to play the divisional round, the wild card round, the divisional round, and then the championship, and then obviously the Super Bowl. So there's 4 weeks in there where you have to be deliberate in your time. You have to make sure that every stone is unturned, because there's no more, oh, we can get it back next week. Oh, we're going to face that team in the next, 6 weeks so we can get it back. We can go back and scout ourselves. No, it's none of that. It's either you get it right now, it's a pass or fail grade. That's exactly what the playoffs, each and every week is a pass fail grade. So you have to approach it like that if you're serious about what you're doing. So every coach that I've been a part of, whether it's starting with Jeff Fisher to Billick to Harbaugh, those guys, once they were already intense. Billick a little bit more relaxed than the other two, but they were intense. But when the playoffs came, it was just like everything changed, because now we got to get hyper focused for the next 4 weeks to achieve a goal that we set at the beginning of the year.
So you felt a difference in Jeff Fisher, playoff Jeff Fisher, as opposed to regular season.
Of course, I felt a difference in a locker room, period. It wasn't that, guys, we don't take our job seriously, because we do. And it's not like we're not paying attention to detail, because we do. But when you're in a regular season, it's different, because you know you have another opportunity. Whether you win or lose, you have another opportunity to make it right. In the playoffs, don't. It's gone.
And for football, one of the things that Wickersham drives home, and I think it's a good one, every sport's a little bit different. Because we know now we live in a world where there is unlimited information out there. College basketball, like, you could know every single thing about the opponent you're going to play. Individual players, team schemes, all that stuff. And you can get it so much quicker now than you used to when you had the old VHS and you're editing tape or film even before that. Remember, they actually had projectors to watch film. Some coaches didn't even watch film. Now you can't win without it. Baseball, tons of information. But baseball and basketball, baseball, you're playing the next night. You lose, you're playing the next night. Basketball, you might have one night off, two nights off, you're coming right back. Hockey, same thing. You got three games, four games a week. But in football, you have an entire week to get everything you want to get. And you know the other team's working just as hard as you. But here's a couple of things that are examples of what goes on. Sean Payton, he railed right between the win against the Bills last year, where they edged Josh Allen and the Bills. And Nick's got hurt. People, just a jar of people's memory. Then, of course, they lost to the Patriots in the championship game. So between the two games, one of the first things he did was he went in to chastise one of his assistants, because they had a big discussion on who to activate. Mm-hmm. And they activated one guy for one purpose, and he didn't end up playing in the game. And he was really upset about that. And this was a guy, I've never heard of the guy. The guy may not even be in the league next year. Mm-hmm. But they were doing it for one specific reason, and they, because they have to make the choice. Do we go A, B, or C? Mm-hmm. Do we activate Connor? Do we activate Adam? Well, no, let's go with this guy for this one big thing. Mm-hmm. So, like, there's no detail that they don't get to. He went to a bank of films that looked at every fake punt for the last 6 or 7 years, just to try to find one or two that he thought would work against the opponent. This is the head coach who, by the way, calls the plays. Mm-hmm. Sean Payton is calling the offensive plays. He's still looking for fake punts to use. And the reason is he did not want to have a situation where it was fourth and short and he punted the ball back to Josh Allen. He was saying to himself, I'm the coach. If it's fourth and short, if we punt the ball back to Josh Allen, even though he has a great defense, he doesn't think he can win. So he was planning on faking a punt. So he's like, I'm going to have one or two fake punts that I know will work, or I think will have the best chance. So these are the things that turn the wheels. And so how does a player experience that when you know the coaches are staying up all night digging for all of these little things to try to get the smallest of advantages?
Well, as a player, when you know coaches are doing that, you make sure that if they're going the extra mile to find those plays, or you know, find that particular defense that we hadn't seen. If they're going through all that trouble, make sure we know it. Make mm-hmm. sure that when we go on the field, we're ready for those moments. Because if the coaches, which they do, after that last game is over, depending on if you have a bye or not, say if you don't have a bye and you got to play that next week. Coaches go from what, say if we played away, for instance, Jacksonville, let's just say that. We go to Jacksonville. We don't have a bye that week. We're coming back. Everybody's flying back. Coaches are going straight to their meeting rooms. They're going straight to their meeting rooms. They're getting their stuff. We all would ride the bus back. But there was a portion where we took our cars there. But I think that was post 9/11 where we had to ride on the bus. It was. So they would come back from, you know, riding from the airport with us on the bus. We would get in our cars and go home, or some guys would go in and get some treatment. But all the coaches to a man would be in their meeting rooms breaking down film for the next opponent. Why? Because we don't have a do-over. It's either you pour in now or you don't pour in at all.
Okay, so let's go quickly day by day. Mm-hmm. How they spoon-feed you or feed you this game plan.
Well,
So let's say you're playing on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Let's say you just won a big game the previous Sunday. Mm-hmm. So what's Monday like, first
Monday's
of all?
Monday's the day. Monday you come back in. If there is, say if you play Sunday and your next game was the next following Sunday, if it just worked out that way in the playoffs for you. Because sometimes it's usually Saturday, then Sunday. You play the next following Sunday, or you play Sunday, then the next following Saturday. But say if you just went from Sunday to Sunday. If you did have a game that week without a bye, what happens is Monday we come in, we go over like quickly what happened in the previous game. But then if we know who our opponent is, we get an introduction, a slight introduction to our opponent. Not end all be all, but we give we get a trailer. That's what we get. We get a trailer to our opponent, even though more than likely we've already played them.
Like a movie preview. Yeah.
We get a preview of our opponent.
Here's the general things that we have to do
exactly.
to beat this team.
Absolutely. So then it's after that is a little shakeout because we just played Sunday. Shakeout, make sure you get
Are you looking back at the old game at this point, or are you looking more ahead?
Because you still want to grade the game. You still mm-hmm. want to grade it. You just don't want to leave it as – because some people, you know, they may need that. You may want to watch the film because you know – well, this team may play the same exact defense, so we need to do something a little different. You may have done this in this game. You should have done something else, and I'm going to show you what you did wrong. So we're still breaking down the film. So we got to break down the film on Monday. After that, we're off Tuesday. Typically, during the playoffs, guys still come in. So it's really not it's an off day, but it's not an off day. Because, again, everything becomes hyper-focused now because there's no – oh, we lose. We can come back the next week. You lose, you're done. So Tuesday, majority of the guys are in the building. It's not a you need to be there, but guys are in there watching film. Guys are in there getting treatment because they want to make sure that when they come back Wednesday, that they're ready to go, that there's no lag in our preparation. Because typically when you had a day off, you come back Wednesday, you kind of sort of fighting your way through, kind of getting yourself ramped up for practice. No. During the playoffs, you want to hit the ground running.
One thing that dawned on me as I was reading this article, these coaches are working literally around the clock, right? It's what you always hear. Some of them might even they have a pull-out bed where they can sleep, mm-hmm. right? Just so they can grab some sleep and then be ready to get up and start this. How hard is it for a player? Because I think at a certain point that there are times in this article where they're talking about. Your brain just gets fried, right? There's only so much you can throw at me before my brain just is going to block. It's saturated, right? I can't take on anymore. You might have the greatest things that you're trying to tell me at a certain point, mm-hmm. but if I've been sitting there for 3 hours or whatever, I don't know if I can absorb it. So was that hard for you sometimes to try to pick up all these great things? Like, hey, we watched film for 5 hours and we found all these things, and now I got to tell you how to do it. Was that hard sometimes?
I don't think it was. It wasn't hard because, again, it's not about what we're doing, it's why we're doing it. Why are we doing this? Why do we have extra film time and extra practices? Well, because we're in the playoffs. So you don't look at what we're doing, it's the why. Why are we doing it? So the why is bigger than the what. So whatever we're doing it for a reason. So I don't think guys ever got to a point where they were like, at least not on the teams that I played on, where they were saying, man, this is too much. Like, because nobody thinks that way. It's like, okay, if this is what you're going to give us, we're going to make sure we know it all, because you're trying to put us in the best position to win a football game. I would be doing you, myself, and the team a disservice if I look at that sort of nonchalant and say, man, we've been doing this, you know, for the last four. No, if it takes four more hours, we're going to do it, because if we don't and we lose, that's it. We're going home.
There were all these details, such as Sean Payton putting the room at 68 degrees.
Oh, they would do that all the time.
So it was cold enough to where supposedly your brain works best, mm-hmm. or something when it's 68 degrees. That's what he read somewhere, so that's what he went with. But there was all of these things. So it maybe props used to mm-hmm. drive home a point. There were meetings with, obviously, the offense, the defense, the special teams, and then the big group meetings. So,
and you break up meetings too, like,
yeah. So how many? Like, you were a special teams guy with the Titans, uh-huh. especially. So what was your day like going from room to room in the meetings? Take me through a day, a Wednesday or a Thursday.
Come in 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning. Breakfast. I usually like getting my workout done later in the day after practice.
So you're still working. You're still lifting weights.
It's not like you're still lifting weights, but it's not like, oh, we're lifting hard.
Maintenance.
So I would get that in after practice, something quick. But meetings at 7:30, 7:45, somewhere around there. That's a special teams meeting. So special teams meeting started. It usually lasts for about 30 to 45 minutes. And then after that, we have a team meeting. Then a team comes together, and then the game plan is, you know, this is the scouting sort of moment of the meeting, the team meeting, where, you know, you put the marquee players on, you give the stats or the metrics of where this team is good, where they have some deficiencies, who are their star players, you know, stuff like that. Who are the refs potentially for this game? So all of that. We're going over. That's in team meeting. And then they show, like, more plays of our opponent. They'll show specific plays of our opponent, maybe five or six plays, both for offensive, for defensive, and special teams. Then after that, we break into offensive and defensive meetings. And then from the offensive-defensive meeting, which are installation meetings, so the offense is being installed. Not the whole offense, just – first and second down is being, or play action is being installed the first day, which is Wednesday.
Okay.
After the team meeting, after the the offensive and defensive meetings, which last for those meetings, because they're going through everything. Last for about an hour to 2 hours.
Wow. So you have a team meeting. Then an offensive meeting, yes. with all the offenses.
Yes.
And then you go to your position
meeting? Then you got a breakdown meeting. Yes. Then
just with your position group.
Yeah, just with your position. And then you go to lunch.
That's all this before lunch?
Yeah, all of this is before lunch.
I thought it was 7 o'clock at night.
No. All of this.
By now, you guys.
All of this is before lunch. And then.
You haven't even gone out to the practice field
yet. Then we go out for. No, after that, we go out for a walkthrough.
Okay.
So after the meetings, we go out for a walkthrough. And then after that, we come in and eat lunch. And then depending on the coach, we may have just a quick breakdown meeting. But typically, we go from lunch to on the field. We're on the field for, back then, it's about an hour 45, 2 hours. Then we would come back in and watch more film. So you're talking about another hour to 2 hours of more film. And that's not counting the film you got to take home and watch.
Wow.
So it's just constant film watching, familiarizing yourself with your opponent, even if you already know them. Because what happens is, we may have seen that team early in the year, the fourth game of the season. They may be a different team now.
Yeah.
So we got to scout the team they are now.
Different guys are hurt. Exactly, different guys are healthy.
Absolutely.
Different things are working for them. Yeah.
That takes a lot. So we're in there from some guys, like the quarterback, for instance. They're in there from 5:30. To about 7-8 o'clock at night.
Wow, that's a lot.
That's a long day. Because I look at quarterbacks like coaches.
Did you think that? And we'll break after this. because my brain's starting to get fried thinking about all this. And then we're going to get into some of the fun stuff in the next segment. But you played for a lot of different coaching staffs. Were some staffs better than others at being able to teach it smoothly, where you're not sitting there going, man, I don't get it. I got to go back home tonight and got to go back through this. Like, were some guys really good at saying, boom, 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 this is what we need from you?
Yeah, I don't think there was one person necessarily better than the
other. So you're saying
there's
a standard. You don't make it unless you're good at being able to get it to a big group of people.
Exactly.
Like that.
There's a standard that is set, especially in the playoffs. It may come off different, but it's not like the standard is lowered. It's just they do it a different way. So I don't think there was more. I don't think Heimerdinger was any more detailed than Cam Cameron or Neuheisel or Billick or any other OC out there. You know, I just think they did it, or Les Steckel. So I just think they all did it a different way, but they all were sticklers, especially Les.
Did they quiz you? Like, did you have to be ready?
Oh, yeah, they would quiz you.
Derek, on this play, where do you need to be?
Yeah, they would quiz you.
Yeah, so you had to be
Steckel
ready.
Steckel would do it. Yeah. Heimerdinger would do it. Billick didn't so much do it. He maybe did it to the younger guys. Cam did it every so often. I don't think New ever really did it, but they all had a standard, and it was a high standard, but they all did it in their own different ways.
Good stuff. When we come back, we'll continue the Ask D-May segment. We're going to get into fun stuff. We'll tell you a story about what Sean Payton did to get his team motivated to play Josh Allen in the Bills and the theme behind it. So it's a theme, and we're going to ask D-May what he remembers about things like that, where you get the team on the same page with a mindset, a motivational mindset. It's some pretty good stuff. 615-737-1025. You want to add to this? You want to ask D-Mace about something like this? If you happen to have read this this article, or if something sparked this, want to hear from you. Like, you're a football coach, ask D-Mace these questions. 615-737-1025. We're back with more of DVD right after this. Now Connor Newt has touched. He's touched a chord. This is one of my favorite movies of all time. Just the original. You know, there's a bunch of sequels. Yeah, some of them are good. Some, you know, the original is the one.
You're not a fan of the other ones?
I'm a fan. I love Indiana Jones. I'll watch them, but the first one is still the standard.
Last Crusade is my favorite.
It's
the third one.
It's not as good. Ford None of them touched the first one. None
was
of them.
The best.
Indiana Jones. Speaking of movies, we're gonna talk more about in our Ask D-May segment. We're talking about preparing for a playoff game, and the great article that Seth Wickersham wrote, where he was basically embedded with the Broncos for a couple weeks. And this is not really about the Broncos or Sean Payton. It's just how the game works behind the scenes. I'm just fascinated with it because it's access that we don't always get. Right, so this is a really good piece of journalism. So don't mistake this. We're like, hey, are we in Denver? No, this is not about the Broncos.
No, not at all.
But one of the things, and I think anybody who's played for a team, you love the themes of how do you get everybody on the same page? How do you get everybody really at the peak edge of being ready to play together in a big game? And so some of this, it may be a little bit silly, but a lot of teams do it, and it seems to work. It's like we talked about with Michael Jordan. How would he psych himself up? He would just come up with some reason. Sometimes it was true. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it was half true. Sometimes it wasn't true at all. But he would find a way to just feel disrespected by the other team, and that would get him that chip on the shoulder that he needed. So coaches try to do that. They try to get their whole team push those right buttons. So Sean Payton, when they were playing Josh Allen and the Bills, through the game plan, one of the themes of the game plan was the Bills' defense and the Bills in general have struggled against teams that play with tempo. And so he wanted, especially in the conditions at Mile High Stadium, he wanted to play a high-tempo game. And as we know, it turned into a classic game. Mm-hmm. The Bills and Broncos went right down to the wire, and the Broncos outlasted them barely. They were controversial. It was a great football game. But his theme was, we want to deprive the Bills of oxygen, not just because of the high altitude, but with the pace of the game. And so how is he going to drive this point home? Well, the first thing he did was he ordered like 100 oxygen masks. And of course, you've got these people on the staff that their job is to go get whatever you need to get them, right? Mm-hmm. You don't know what he's going to ask you to get. So he's like, hey, Joe. Yeah, coach, what do you need? I need you to go get me 100 oxygen masks. And you can't say, well, coach, where do I get? You can't say that. You just have to say, okay, coach.
I'll find them.
And then he goes and finds them. So he passes them out, and then he gets somebody on the staff to put together a movie clip. This is where the movies come in. And he wants to drive this point home, so he gets a clip from the movie Everest. I'm not sure if anybody has seen this movie. It's a really good movie. But you don't even have to have seen the movie to get the premise. And so it's a scene where there's a climber of Mount Everest. He's actually a guide, and he's stuck at the top of the mountain. And his legs are freezing. He's out of oxygen, and he can't get down the mountain. And so in the movie, it's very dramatic. It's very sad. He calls his wife to tell him he's stuck up there. He's not going to be able to make it back down the mountain. So it's a tearjerker kind of moment. But so Sean Payton makes it about that's Josh Allen and the Bills. So not only does he play the movie clip, but he has his people come up with a way with AI or whatever to superimpose Josh Allen's jersey number, and they make the character look like Josh Allen. That it's Josh Allen on the top of the mountain who can't breathe. And he's saying over and over, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. And his wife is on the other end of the phone, but it's not Keira Knightley who's playing the character in the movie Everest. It's Josh Allen's wife.
Because she's an actress.
I forget her name off the top of my head. But so now he's driving this point home. We're doing this. We want to put the Bills into that position where they can't breathe. We're going to be so powerful. We're going to up the tempo, and they will wilt before we do. So I thought, that was just a brilliant thing. Did that make a difference in the game? I'm sure the Bills had their same kind of thing that they were doing to try to motivate their guys. But it's really interesting where you get all your entire team on the same page with that. So I was curious if you ever had what was the equivalent for you guys? Did you guys do that sort of thing?
Yeah, we did it, especially, you know, in every coach they got to find sort of innovative ways to capture their players, because they understand it's just like any sport, really. It's a long season, and for football, it's a long week.
It's a grind.
So you got to have something that sort of that ties your message, the message you want. And a lot of people are visual. So sometimes you just can't get up there and start talking. Because half of the room you may have, but then the other half is like, well, what is he like? I really can't picture what he's saying. But what I think everybody can picture, if they see it, and then the coach after that sort of expounds upon what they saw or explain. And I've had those have been my situations, whether it was Jeff Fisher here, especially when Remember the Titans came out. That was huge. And everybody knows, you come in the stadium, there was always a clip from Remember the Titans on the Jumbotron. And it was great because it gave guys like that motivation. It was just like that one thing, and it gave you that extra boost. It was like a five-hour energy drink. It just gave you that boost, and you were ready to go. So we would do those before the game. And what I mean before the game, I mean the night before the game. Because before the game, even though there are some great speeches said or some words said, everybody's really sort of in their own zone. And we appreciate that, and we respect that. Even though we come together as a team and break it down, we still respect and understand that everybody has their own zone that they're in. But the night before the game, that's not the case.
Okay, so it's more effective the night before the game.
Exactly.
Than the day of the game.
It's more effective the night before the game. So whether it was, you know, Fisher bringing in Boone and
So tell that story, because Remember the Titans, I'm sure a lot of you have seen it. It was out. It was it actually came out in the theater around the time that the Titans, changed from the Oilers to the Titans. It was really interesting timing. It's a great movie.
Yes, great
movie. And I'm sure it's been used in any number of locker rooms over the years because it's so well done. You just played a clip during the break. We were like, it got our goosebumps going. We're like, oh, I'm ready to play. But you actually brought the actual coach from that team, Herman Boone, out there,
yes,
right? Jeff Fisher brought him in.
Brought him in, and he just talked about the movie and, you know, some things that were maybe embarrassing a little bit. But he talked about the movie. He talked about his time and what he was trying to convey to his team and how he brought the team together and, you know, what he saw in this team and everything else. But it was a good way to tie reality to a movie that we've seen, that some of it may be true, but some of it is embellished. But to have the actual coach that the movie was made about, his team, him and his team, there to explain everything, and then to watch clips, he was just like, I'm ready to run through a brick wall now. I'm ready to do this, because remember, the Titan was all about becoming a team. You know, regardless of what your affiliation was, regardless of what your politics was, regardless of what your religion was, it was about bringing 52 guys together and a staff, and we all fighting for one common goal. And the movie even said, listen, we're going to learn, we may not like each other, but we're going to learn to respect one another. And if I respect you and you respect me, that's all you can ask for. We're going to go out and get the job done, because there's one common goal. So when he brought Boone in, he talked about, I mean, man, guys was ready to go. It's like, okay, let's play.
So everybody walked out of there thinking, wow, that
was
really
something. Absolutely, because you're talking about an iconic figure in Boone, a movie that's one of the best sports movies ever. And you're talking about a team, remember the Titans, us, this is us. So it almost was one of those things that was sort of embedded. It's just like they're talking about us.
So you think that made a difference? So for people that maybe, when I say Herman Boone, we say Herman Boone, that's the Denzel Washington,
yes,
Washington character, right?
Exactly.
So if you don't know, I would doubt. Well, you know, the movies, we're a little removed from the movie now, but the movie, of course, is basically a segregated school that is now rezoned, and they have to blend the all-white school with the all-black school, mm-hmm, and Herman Boone, Denzel Washington, is the coach. He's got to blend the coaching staff. So
exactly,
bring some very separate, very different group of people together. It's a real-life story, and that's what the movie is on. So do you think, I mean, does that give you an edge?
I think it gives you an edge when the game is played? It puts you in a frame of mind of us. It's us against everybody. Puts you in that frame. Now you're moving forward as one unit. Now it's us moving forward. Then the next day, the day of a game, everybody's in their zone, and guys do give some good sort of speeches, in a sense, some rah-rah speeches. But at that point, it's like, I'm ready to go anyway. Now, we've had situations where night before the game, Ed Reed has spoke, Ray Lewis, Terrell Suggs, guys like even myself. And there's always a theme in it.
Mm-hmm.
And you try to, whatever theme you try to come up with, you try to make sure that it encompasses the team.
Yes.
A team aspect. It's not an individual aspect. It's a team aspect. I mean, Ray didn't tell so many stories. And as you're listening to his stories, you're like, what is he talking about? Then as he gets to the end, you're like, oh, okay, I see what he means now. He told one about a seagull, him being in the water in Florida, out swimming in the ocean, and his seagull comes and all this other stuff. And we're like, where is he going with this? And then it comes out, you know, it comes to the end, you're like, oh, okay.
So he was good.
I see what he's talking about. You know, you couldn't follow him early on, but then as he starts to get through the story and toward the end, it's like, okay, I see what he means. And then the next day, it's like,
not easy to do. Hold a room like that.
Absolutely, because you're holding a room for only 5 to 10 minutes, but it seems like an hour.
Yeah.
And then what you do is the next day, you reiterate or you continue to pound what you said the night before. So now we're all on one mission, and that is to win the game in the fashion that we want to win it in.
Good stuff. I hope you guys enjoy. By the way, if you haven't seen Remember the Titans,
Connor,
let me just check.
It.
You've seen it, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Just so you know, we did have a producer way back in the day, Ryan Porth. There were some movies. They're like, how in the world are you a sports talk person and you have not seen this movie? So you never know, but yeah. Connor is passing the test. But yeah, you need to see that if you have it. Like, if you're that one person, mm-hmm, Get it on there. Get it on your list.
But even to now, and I know we got to go to break, even now listening, like if I hear a speech, especially like if it's one that deals with, and you and I talked about this off air, no matter how many times I listen to the Remember the Titans ones, I got goosebumps. Yeah. I got emotional just listening to it. And I think the longer sort of you live life, you see moments like this, you really know what those moments meant.
I went for years and years. Like, I enjoyed those moments, but as I get older, I almost appreciate those mm-hmm. moments more. I feel like emotions well up inside of me even more now than it did back then. All right, when we come back, we have some questions on the text line for Ask D. Mason. We'll wrap up the show. Another great week of shows here on DVD. 615-737-1025 if you want to duck in a question for D. Mace. Stay tuned. We're coming back to wrap it up here on DVD. All right, which of the 15 or 16 Spider-Man movies is this one?
I don't know. I just picked one. I just like Spider-Man.
This is the tune that actually goes way back to the early cartoons. Here comes the Spider-Man. They've had some really good Spider-Man movies, but I'm a huge Spider-Man fan. I know there's a new one coming out.
Yes. Uh-huh.
With Zendaya. Like, it's you know, there's three strands, right, of Spider-Man movies. And now I'm not even counting the Nicolas Cage, the noir one, or some that I think are really good, the animated, the Spider-Verse ones. Those are really well done. But, man.
The Tobey Maguire ones will always be my favorite.
Those are your faves?
Yeah.
What about you, Derek? What do you?
Tobey Maguire.
Do you like those? Yeah. I'm partial to those for sure.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed them all.
Those were the ones at the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
those
were
the ones
better.
Yeah.
Original.
Yeah. The ones now, he seemed too much like a little kid or. It's yeah. Just, I just don't.
They're good. I like them.
I like them. But and Zendaya is good. But I'm with you. If I had to choose one, and of course they're all in the last movie, right? Mm-hmm. They brought them all in there because it's the expanded.
It's like the Spider-Man
multiverse. Yes. Oh man, the multiverses and.
Didn't they do another movie with a multiverse?
They've done a few.
I forget.
If you don't like the multiverse, don't even watch the Spider-Verse one because they got an infinite number of Spider-Man characters.
Or it's hard to keep up with.
It is hard to keep up. It's good, though. It's good.
Spider-Man's good.
We have a couple of questions from the Ask D. Mace text line here. One is this texter said he has had a discussion with his wife. Mm-hmm. She thinks he's crazy, which is, you know. Yeah. We've all been there. We've all been there. She said, if you're on a plane and the pilot is incapacitated, if you got on the headset and listened to the air traffic control, could you land the plane?
Okay. Is it a big plane?
It's a big plane.
Would how many, like a lot of passengers?
It doesn't say here, but you tell me. Like, what do you think would be easier, a small plane or a big plane?
I don't think. I think both of them would be very difficult, but I tend to believe if someone was on the other end of the microphone or the other end of the headset telling me exactly what to do, because everything's labeled in there, telling me exactly what to do, I believe I could land a plane. I think I could.
You think you could do it?
I'm not saying it'd be the best landing in the world, but
right.
We would survive.
We'll get it done.
Yes.
Man, I've never thought about that hypothetical. Like,
man,
you have to do it. Like,
goodness.
You have to do it. Like, let's say, like, there, however many people are on the plane, they're like, Derek, you've got to do it. You're the only guy that we have hope. None of us want to do it. Mm-hmm. You got to do it.
But
like, I think that would motivate me, like, okay,
I'm doing
it's me
it.
Or nothing.
Yes.
Like, that would hopefully lock me in and give myself the best chance. And then I better have somebody on the other end that knows how to explain.
Hey, I need a co-pilot.
See that button over there, that red one? Hit it. You know, like, I need instructions.
But if you're doing a big plane, you would need someone else. You would need someone else. So
that
if there was
help.
A smaller plane and everything was labeled, I think I could land it. Yes.
Okay.
I think I could land it. Absolutely.
I believe it.
I don't want to be in that situation, but I think if I had to be in that situation, then I could land it. Yeah.
Would you sweat like the guy from Airplane?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Ted Stryker.
You would be. I wouldn't hear anything but what was being said over the headsets.
Yeah.
That is it.
Oh man, that is a funny scene in Airplane because that kind of happens. Although at least he was a pilot at some point. here's another one. This texter, he enjoyed the discussion on Remember the Titans. Mm-hmm. And he said, Denzel can fire anyone up, even if he's just chewing gum. I believe that. Denzel is that good, no question. He said, though, he also said, hey, great job also in that movie by Trevor Lawrence playing Sunshine. Sunshine!
When Trevor Lawrence, when everybody saw him at Clemson that first year, that was the first thing people said. He was Sunshine. Yeah. It was Sunshine from Remember the Titans.
Joey from Bellevue says, Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness, Avengers, Doomsday will be epic. You mean there's another Avengers coming out?
There will be, as long as we keep paying to watch them.
That's the problem. I can't resist. Oh, boy. 615-737-1025. Big weekend coming up. The World Cup, two quarterfinals have been played this week. Mm-hmm. If you missed it, Spain won today 2-1 over Belgium, so I don't know how we feel about that. Belgium looked pretty good. They were right in it. The game-winning goal was scored in the final 5 minutes or so. Mm-hmm. So they hung with Spain. Spain's as good as anybody. I don't know how does that change anybody's feeling about the USA? Because there's been a lot of fallout. Some of the former players, it's not like those guys ever won the World Cup, but mm-hmm. Needless to say, without really getting on it, they've been critical of some of the players and how they just failed to deliver their best mm-hmm. in the big moment. Like the meltdown in that game was still very disappointing.
I think that's why you have so many, or the ones that are speaking out that are former, you know, players. That's the part they're disappointed in, because it's like y'all just fell apart. It wasn't like they probably didn't even see Belgium as being that much better than the U.S. national team. But it's just the way y'all came out, and then Pulisic.
Pulisic is taking a lot of criticism.
He ends up, you know, and I understand from this standpoint. I get both why he took himself out the game, or they took him out the game, but I also see the other, you know, when guys say, listen, this is all or nothing. You got to find a way. You got to play through. I was wondering, did they give him a shot before the game? Or did they give him a shot at halftime or something? Because when did he injure his ankle?
That wasn't until the second half, I thought. Yeah. Unless he was battling a calf injury.
Yes, he was hurt really the whole game.
The whole tournament, really, because he sat out the second half mm-hmm. of the first game. He didn't play in the second game. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what was bothering him more, but he had the moment where he got kicked and he went down, and then he limped right after that. I think that was a second separate injury. Mm-hmm. I don't know if maybe it was related. I don't know if it was the same leg. Mm-hmm. But either way, it was just the worst day to have
an injury like that.
But
the way you respond in interviews afterwards, it was almost like nonchalant.
Right.
And I think that's what really bothered people.
And it wasn't like his teammates were all like, that just wasn't him. He's mm-hmm. our guy. We want him to get back. It seemed to be revealed like they're not the intangibles.
Exactly.
The underlying, do you want him in the trenches in the foxhole with you? That seemed to be a question.
Exactly.
A question. Yeah. You don't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
Well, but they admit he's the most talented guy they have. So that's always a dilemma for a team, right? We talk about mm-hmm. this all the time. It's really nice when the guy's perfect. Your best mm-hmm. player is your hardest worker, mm-hmm. your team guy. But sometimes you're trying to figure out, how do I get this talented guy to buy in?
And sometimes
if he doesn't naturally have
exactly.
that.
Sometimes on teams, the most talented player isn't the player that everyone looks to. And I know that may be hard to kind of visualize, but just because you are the most talented doesn't mean you are the guy that when it comes to those foxhole moments that we're looking to. We're looking to the guy who's the most leader-y, that have the most leader qualities mm-hmm. in the game. That's what we're looking for. And if your talent matches that, then that's great. But sometimes the talent doesn't match the leadership. So we look for you when there's talent, yeah. But when we need something or we need someone to look to get us going, we look to the leader. And sometimes the leader isn't the most talented guy.
Our text line also, Josh says in the interview too, this is, again, it shouldn't always be about just what you say to the media. You can just not be good at that. But it sometimes it does reveal. He said something to the effect of, well, now we can all rest.
Yes, he said, I can rest now. And it's like, huh?
That's not what you want to hear. You want to hear the guy says, yes. Dang it, that was a big moment. Mm-hmm. We didn't get it done. It's on me. Like, that's what you want to hear from your leaders, right?
And you didn't hear from him, so.
No.
You know, unfortunately, now it has backfired.
You got 4 years, man.
Rest. You can rest for four years.
Oh,
man. Come on. But, yeah. So.
All right. So we've done another. We got through the show without Adam. We had some great movie moments from Connor. We found out that he enjoys the 80s movies. Pretty
love
good.
The 80s movies. It's all about us.
Today, I mean, tomorrow is my son's birthday.
Hey.
He will be 24. Happy birthday, Derek. Early birthday. What would you call it? Early birthday or pre-birthday?
Early birthday.
Yeah, birthday eve. There we
it's
go.
On birthday
happy
eve.
Birthday eve to my lovely, wonderful, handsome, smart, beautiful, everything son Derek. So.
All right. Everybody have a great weekend. Enjoy the soccer or whatever you're up to this weekend. It's always some great baseball going. Yeah, I know. The Mets are terrible. I know. But I'm still there. I'm still a baseball fan. We'll talk to you Monday. Adam will be back with us, and we will count down. Again, we're getting a little bit closer to training camp. The dog days are summer. We're going to have some fun. So make sure you tune in Monday at 3 o'clock.
Be loved. Love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful weekend. I love you. The team loves you. You hear that music. Don't you forget about us, because we will not forget about you. We will be back on these airwaves starting at 3 p.m. on Monday, along with Adam. He will be back to be the point guard of the show once again. And as I always say, we're going to be talking and
you're going to be listening.
Peace.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.